Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Amen. Thank you for your obedience and generosity. Our media team actually told us we're having some technical difficulties, so if you wanted to give digitally, you can go through our church app or website. We apologize for it not being on the screen, so be patient with us today, but you can give later this week. Man, as you can see behind me, I've got some props for my sermon today. How many of you guys know that God is the creator of all things? I'm grateful when God lets me be creative even just for about 15 minutes. And so I'm excited to get into the word today. But I want us to do this. I want us to stand, and we're going to take a minute. And we're going to ask the Lord to meet us here in his word today. Because I believe God wants to share something on this family worship Sunday that is challenging and both changing. I don't know about you, but I have loved so much this series, Mark, that we've been doing. Because how many of you guys know when we believe it, we have been marked to make a mark for the kingdom? And so we're grateful, and it's been so powerful. At 10:30 in our 5 o'clock services, every week that we gather, it's been so good to see what God is doing. But I want us to get into the word today, because I believe that God is going to reveal something to us today that can continue to change how we see ourselves and see the Lord as we fulfill his assignment he's put in our lives together. Can we pray? Father, we love you. God, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. And God, we are so grateful. God, we are so grateful, Lord, for all that you've done. God, we stand here today, God, not on our own strength, but because of yours. God, not because of our own goodness, but because you are good. And Lord, I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you would give us ears to hear. You would give us a heart to understand. And Lord, that as we, God, receive your word today, Father, may we respond to your word. God, because we know that your word, God, is alive and active. May it be alive and active in us today. And may we continue to say yes to every invitation, God, that you are calling us into in this season. And God, we give you praise in advance in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're ready, somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, be seated. Be seated. Be seated. I'm excited to continue our series, Mark. Look to your neighbor and say, you've been marked. You've been marked. You've been marked. And man, I'm grateful that we can continue to be a part of what the Lord is doing. And we're running across. I love it. No, you're fine. You scared me. I didn't know what was going on. I want us to start here, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. We're going to be looking today in our series, Mark, and we're going to start right here. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. Here's what it says. It says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. How many of you are thankful for what Jesus has done in your life? Man, I'm grateful for what Jesus has done, because he's done something that we could not do for ourselves. But you see in this text, he shows us and reveals to us that he has done these things because he desires for us to be his glorious bride. He desires for us to be his glorious church. I hope that you've been taking advantage of this 100-day movement that we've been in together since the beginning of the year. We believe we are positioning ourselves to receive the glory of God in every part of our lives. If that's you, somebody say amen. Man, I believe that that's what is happening right now in Jesus' name. And so we've got a few days left, and I just want to remind you that 100th day is April 10th. That happens to be a Sunday. I hope you're here that day, because at 10:30 and 5 o'clock that day, I believe we're going to encounter the glory of the Lord together. And I want to go ahead and right now, you need to go ahead and let your expectation rise. You need to go ahead and let your expectation rise in Jesus' name, because I believe we're going to see some supernatural things happen that day as we gather together in Jesus' name. But we see what God is saying, that he wants us to be a glorious church. And notice what he said. He said, my church, my bride, should be without spot or wrinkle. We have learned what that means, that should mean we should have no stain or no flaw. Look to your neighbor and say, you look clean. Come on, tell them. You should be clean. You should have no stain, no flaw. Why? Jesus died so you could be stain free. Come on. He died so you could be flaw-free in him. But he desires for us to reflect him. We need to understand in this hour, church, that we as the bride of Christ should be reflecting the groom. We as the bride of Christ should be reflecting the groom. And so we've been seeing through this entire series that we are not supposed to have stains or flaws, but we should be marked. We should be marked by God, and we have been talking about this for the last several weeks, that we have been marked to make a mark. We have been marked by God so we can make a mark in the world in which we live. And we've been very transparent as we have discovered this. Not that it's incidental at all, but it's very intentional. We know that we're in the year 2022, the year 5782 on the Lord's calendar. And we found with all those twos that the 22nd letter of the Hebraic alphabet is the letter Tav. Everybody say Tav. It means to mark. And we know this. God desires in this season that we would say yes to the places that he wants to mark our lives. What's a mark? It's a distinctive characteristic or feature that's not just seen by some, but it's seen by everybody. It is a distinctive mark. God wants us to be marked so we can make a mark on the world in Jesus' name. He wants us to be marked. And we've seen and studied that unfortunately, there have been some times as the bride of Christ that instead of making a mark in this world for the Lord, we've left some stains instead. Instead of making a mark, we've left some stains. Because see, what happens is when the people of God are not intentional, how many of you guys know we need to be intentional? Seven of us need to be intentional. That's great. We need to be intentional. We need to be consistent. Somebody shout consistent. Listen, if we start it, we need to finish it. We need to be intentional and consistent. But because there are places that we haven't been intentional and consistent, instead of leaving marks that have brought change and transformation, we've left some stains that have brought confusion and pain. We've left some stains that have brought confusion and pain. But I'm grateful because I know something. How many of you guys know if you can hear me right now, you're not done yet? Some of you have already gone to sleep. Okay. Because you're still here. Look to your neighbor and say, you're still here. You're not done. Come on, tell them. You're not done. See, that, I don't know about you. That doesn't make me feel horrible. That gives me hope that because I'm still here, God's not done with me. And even if I've been guilty of leaving a stain or two, I know that when I commit my life to him, when I begin to say, Lord, I'm ready to be marked in every part of who I am, that instead of leaving stains, I can start making marks for the kingdom of God everywhere that I live. We're supposed to make a mark. You say, Pastor, how can we do that? Well, because the Bible says in Philippians 2, here it is, for God is working in us. Somebody say, God's working. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And I'm thankful that even then we can understand if we'll say yes to the places that God is saying yes, you don't have to do it on your own, but God's gonna work in you and God's gonna work through you to do everything that he's called you to do. If you're thankful for that kind of God, give him praise today. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your working. And so we've been understanding this and seeing different marks throughout this series. And it's been so powerful to see how God desires to mark us in specific ways. And today I'm excited because I believe that I'm on assignment this morning because I believe God wants us to see something fresh. That if we want to be the people of God that are making marks, bringing change and transformation, that we must understand that we need to be marked to live as a family and an army. We must live. Somebody say, we must live. We must live in this world as a family and an army. A family and an army. And listen, this is so important. These marks, church, are so important because these specific marks, are you ready? They point to our identity in the kingdom of God. These marks are important because they point to our identity in God's kingdom. See, we have to know who we are in Christ so we can understand what the Father desires to do through us. Let me back up. How many of you guys know that you'll never know your purpose until you understand your identity? And see, a lot of times everybody wants to jump to purpose. Well, God, what have you gifted me? What have you talented? What have you given me talent-wise to do? He says, hang on a minute. You cannot know what you're here for until you know who you belong to. You cannot know what you're called to do until you understand who you are in me. And so these marks really are pointing to our identity. Having our identity settled in our hearts and mind is important. Why? Because that's when our purpose begins to shine through. So let me say it this way. You ready? When identity is solidified, purpose is clarified. When identity is solidified, purpose is clarified. Somebody say amen if you believe that. And so we see these marks are important, not because they're man-made marks, but they are God-created marks on our lives as the people of God and as the church in the earth, that we must live as a family and an army. Now, let me talk about this for a minute because I think it's important. Did you know this understanding of being a family and an army goes all the way back to Genesis? It goes all the way back to the beginning. Let me show you. All the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Here's what the Bible says. It says, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, I need you to see this text for a minute, because I need you to see when it says be fruitful and multiply, he says fill the earth. Is he saying be fruitful and multiply with M&Ms? No, with family. Be fruitful and multiply. Look to your neighbor and say, thank the Lord for babies. Come on. He said, God blessed him, said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. See this very quickly, that God desired for us to fill the earth with people, with family. And then notice after that, he said, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. What does that mean? That means this: God designed each of us with a desire to connect to a family and walk in victory in every part of our lives. See this just from the text. God desires that each of us would connect to a family and then walk in victory, that we would live in dominion and we would rule and reign just as he designed us to. God's desired that from the beginning. But can I tell you, as soon as God desired that for the beginning, we know after Satan fell that he was after that very thing. How many of you guys know we have an enemy? Listen, I don't know about you. I'm thankful that we can talk about heaven, but if heaven's real, hell's real also. If God is real, then Satan's also real. We need to understand, listen, for all of those places that don't talk about hell, they only want to talk about heaven. For all those places that never talk about Satan, listen, we have an enemy that is after us. It does not diminish anything that Jesus has done, but we need to recognize we're not just playing. He's serious, and he's trying to destroy and destruct everything that God is trying to do in us and through us. And so we have to recognize something. As soon as God set this in motion, as soon as God said, listen, I want you to connect to a family, and I want you to live in victory, and I want you to be able to rule and reign just as I've designed you to, the enemy said, nah, I'm gonna try to change that. And so what did he do? He came after Adam and Eve, and we all know the story. Anybody else still irritated with Adam and Eve, or is that just me? Okay. Let's get real for a minute. But Adam and Eve, we know what happened. They fell, and the authority that God had given them was given to Satan, and the concept of family got twisted. How many of you guys know the concept of family has gotten twisted? And listen, the church needs to untwist it. The church needs to say, you know what, if God said it's going to be this way, it's going to be this way. If God said it's between a man and a woman, we're going to love everybody, but marriage is between a man and a woman. Let me go ahead and say this a step further. For thousands of years, we've been able to recognize children at birth. Please don't let anybody tell you that it's not a boy or a girl, but they get to choose. If God said it and God designed it, we're going to honor the word of God, we're going to honor the will of God, and we're going to walk in that truth in Jesus' name. Now, let me say this before, because we're excited about, we're going to stand for truth. We better also be able to love folks. we also be able to look past all the things that are broken and twisted. And listen, we don't speak to problems, we speak to potential in people. We speak to not just the patterns that we see, but we speak to the purpose that we know God has put inside of them. So let me go ahead and tell you, Pastor, does that mean we can bring lost people to our church? Yes. We need to, listen, we need to come into contact with lost people on a consistent basis, because let me tell you why it's so important. I believe that they can belong before they become. Come on, somebody. They can belong before they become. Now, are they going to become? In Jesus' name, they will. But we've got to be willing to say, if we're going to stand in truth, that we're not afraid to bend down and love people where they are. Come on now. But we see this. We see that Satan he took that authority because Adam and Eve gave it to him, because they were deceived, and he twisted the concept of family. And frankly, we know since then that humanity struggled until Jesus. Come on, somebody. Humanity struggled until Jesus. How many of you guys know that's our story too? We struggled until Jesus. We struggled until we met Jesus and he changed us from the inside out. But humanity struggled until Jesus. Why? Because when Jesus came, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He came and he walked in that power and authority. He reestablished the kingdom of God, the family of God, and he took that authority to subdue and have dominion, and he gave it to his bride, which is the church, who is us. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Then he gave us that power and authority to walk in and steward. But the reality is though, even though Satan has lost, how many of you guys know Satan has lost? Please don't be deceived. He will never win, but he also never stops. He will never win, but he also never stops. But even though he has already lost, he hasn't stopped trying to deceive us out of the truth. He has not stopped trying to deceive the church out of the truth of our identity, that we are marked to be a family and an army. And so if we can recognize this morning, can I tell you, it is our season to ask the Lord to mark us again, that we can be a family and an army, in order for us to be the glorious church. In order for us to be the church without stain, without flaw, that we must be marked as a family and an army. So let's start with family. How many of you guys know that we are family? Come on. No? Okay. Sister Sledge said so first, so I thought I could too. But look to your neighbor and say, hey fam, come on. In fact, go ahead, give five people hand pounds and say, hey fam, come on, tell them. Hey fam, we're family. You know, it's always a sobering thought to know when I do that kind of stuff, it's on camera, you know what I mean? That means I can't tell anybody it didn't happen. They have film, unfortunately. Some of you guys are laughing too hard at my dancing. You should see me at weddings. Well, I light it up. Come on. Hallelujah. He's still working. Galatians, come on. I'm going to lose it. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 verse 26. Look at what it says. It's the Bible. Galatians 3, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For you are all, somebody say all. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. When we accept Jesus as Savior and, come on, when we accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, we step into the kingdom of God. When we accept him as Savior and Lord, we step into the kingdom and the family of God. You see, we become family when we receive the gift of salvation by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus for what he's done for us. And here's what's cool. As a family, we get to have some and share some really cool stuff. Now, I brought a table up because for me, when I think about family, I think about the dinner table. Anybody else think of the dinner table when they think about family? I think about the dinner table. Now for me, it wasn't a dinner table at my house. It was usually a dinner table at a restaurant, but it was still a table nonetheless. Because my mom did not like cooking all that much. So we were at Captain D's and Shoney's, you name it, we were there. Anybody remember those places? Am I showing my age? Okay, all right, but still, I want you to see this. that there's a table here because I believe table is a representation of just that family time that we share together. And as a family, we share some really cool stuff. As the family of God, we share moments together, but we also share some truths together. So let me talk about this for a minute. As a family, how many of you guys know we all share the same father? We all share the same father. We all have this heavenly father who is God the Father. Now, let me just clarify this because a lot of people, for some reason, they only want to identify themselves as a servant of God, but the truth is we're the sons of God in the earth. We're the sons of God. And listen, God is not just Jesus' father, he's our father. Come on, somebody. He is our father. And so as a family, we share a father. Let me show you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Somebody say amen to the word. Man, how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Then I go to Romans 8, chapter 14 through 17. It says, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. How many of you guys are thankful that we can call him Abba, Father? That he is not some distant dad, but he's close in every part of who we are. And we can go to him and lean on him and trust him. He's not just somebody else's father. He's our father. He is our Father. Go ahead and take a minute and just say, thank you that you're my Father, God. Come on. Thank you that you're my Father, God. I'm thankful that we share a heavenly Father. Because see, I don't know if your earthly dad was a good representation of our heavenly Father or not, but I want to tell you about our heavenly Father for a minute. Our heavenly Father doesn't accuse, he affirms. Our heavenly Father doesn't compare, he cherishes. Our heavenly Father isn't disappointed in you, but he delights in you. Our heavenly Father doesn't label you, he loves you. But can I tell you about our dad? Not only is he a good father, but he is also our maker. He's also our provider. He's our promise giver, and he's our promise keeper. He's our protector. He's our healer. He's our dream giver. He's our way maker. He is our redeemer. He's our source. He is the restorer of all things. Come on, if you're thankful for our Father, come on and give him praise because he's good. I'm thankful that we have that kind of Father. So after we share a Father, the second thing is we share a love for one another. How many of you guys know you can't be in the family if you only love Daddy? Come on now. You can't say, oh, I love Jesus, but I don't love nobody else. Mm-mm. If you love God, you got to love your brothers and sisters. So we're family. Everybody say we're family. We're family. So you have to see this. We should share a love for one another. 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. Romans 12:10, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. What does it mean when you honor each other? That means you give your brother the biggest piece of chicken. Come on, somebody. You think of them before you think of yourself. 1 John 3:18, look at what he says. He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So listen, don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. Don't tell me you love me. Show me that you love me. Can I tell you, if it's a love that's a kingdom love, are you ready? Love in the kingdom of God does not compete or compare. It just completes. So I want to tell you something. If you're a part of the family of God, please hear me for a minute. If you're a part of the family of God and you've been invited to sit at the table, please help me when I say something. The church has done this long enough. It's high time that we stop trying to compare ourselves with everybody else at the table. Come on, somebody. It's high time that we stop trying to compete with each other and say, I'm more gifted, or I'm more anointed, or I'm more talented. Listen, if they're at the table, love them and honor them the way Jesus loves and honors you, and do everything you can to say, I don't just love Dad, I love my brothers and sisters, and I'm thankful that I'm not sitting there by myself, but I got my family beside me. We should have a love for one another. And then finally, we should have a life together. How many of you guys know Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Now, how many of you guys know a life in the kingdom is not a life that should be lived by itself? Now, let me clarify for a minute. You have to follow Jesus for yourself, right? You're not saved because grandma was saved. You're not going to heaven because daddy was a preacher. You're not even going to heaven because your spouse is saved. You have to follow Jesus for yourself. But catch this for a minute. Even though you have to follow Jesus for yourself, you are not supposed to be following Jesus by yourself. You're supposed to have family. You're supposed to have family. See, there's a beautiful picture of this in Acts chapter 2. Because in Acts chapter 2, we see something, church. In Acts chapter 2, we see after Jesus has returned to heaven and they've already experienced Pentecost and they all got filled full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Look what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to CNN's teaching. Doesn't say Fox News, doesn't say the newspaper, don't say Facebook or YouTube. It says all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why? Because they were teaching the scripture. They were teaching from the word of God and the revelation of the Holy Spirit that they were walking in. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Come on, how many of you guys know we used to say, come on, let's fellowship. We changed the new buzzword as community, but fellowship and community are the same thing. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm thankful for fellowship. Come on, tell them. I'm thankful for fellowship. And to sharing in meals, hallelujah, including, is it just me that's thankful we get to eat together? Okay, that's fine. And sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. But then I go to verse 46 and 47. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's the picture of the family that we should have today as New Testament believers. Come on. That's the picture of the family that we should have, the family of God in the earth. Listen, they were a family and they realized they were better together. They were better together. Now listen to me when I say something, and for most of you, you're already here, so it's not a big deal, but listen to me. You need this family. Say amen. Amen. You need this family. You need this community. You need everything that God has established. Listen, why would some people need the family of God, but some people not need the family of God? Hate to break it to you, but if this is an opinion where it goes off from the word's not wrong. So by default, that makes, okay, all right. We need this family. We need this community. It really is true. We are better together. Now, I'm gonna say something, and you need to hear me because it's very true. You cannot be in covenant with the groom and reject the bride. Come on. You cannot be in covenant with the groom and reject the bride. If I hear one more person tell me how much they love Jesus, but they have left the church, that's not biblical, that's not godly, and I hope that is not a slippery slope from you walking from everything altogether. Now, I'm going to say something. I apologize for the churches that you might have experienced that didn't actually operate the way the church was supposed to. I understand that, but I need you to hear me. When you find a church that does operate the way that it's supposed to, when you find a church that honors God and honors people and teaches the word of God and the spirit and the presence of God are prioritized, listen to me. You don't just up and leave the family. Come on. You don't just up and leave the family. You don't leave the dinner table just because you thought the meal was too spicy because somebody else loved it. So maybe it's not that the family's wrong. Maybe it's you done got in your opinion and stepped out of obedience. Or maybe you've left purity and got into preference. But I need you to hear me. We got to value family. Look around you right now. Even online right now, we're family. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, hey, fam. We're family. We are the family of God in the earth. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of those places where the church stopped making a mark and started leaving a stain. They started leaving a stain because all of a sudden people were like, well, I love Jesus, but I left the church. No, I love God, but I don't go to church anymore. I don't need people. I just need Jesus. Please be careful. You really don't understand the magnitude of the things that you're saying. And I'm going to tell you something about the enemy. You ready? Do you know the first step to destruction is isolation? The first step to him being able to get you is when you isolate yourself from the family. So I'm going to tell you, in this season, if we are committed to the groom, we also must be committed to the bride. If you are committed to the groom, please stay committed to the bride. Because listen to me, you need the family of God. Honest moment, this is not easy for anybody. How many of you guys know that walking with the Lord, while it's worth it, it's not always easy? It's not always easy. But I found when I've got folks around me and beside me that are encouraging me and believing in me and walking with me and helping me, it's a lot easier to stay committed to the groom because I've got a bride that's helping me. So listen to me. If we are marked in our commitment to the groom, we must be marked in our commitment to being a part of the bride. If you believe that, somebody say amen. We are family. We are family. We are family. So that means we need to be a family that eats together, prays together, worships together, serves together, lives together. Listen to me. Some of you say, well, Pastor, my family was a family of dysfunction. No, this is not a family of dysfunction. This is a family of destiny. Come on. Come on. This is not a family that sabotages each other. This is a family that serves each other. This is not a family that's corrupt, but it's a covenant family that puts each other before ourselves. This is not a divided family, but this is a united family that believes the best in each other and the best for each other. Somebody shout it with me. Say, we are family. We are family. And we must be marked by living as a family. But we're also marked by being an army. We're also marked by being an army. Now, this is really cool. One of our veterans. By the way, is there anybody in here that serves our country or has served our nation? Would you slip up your hand? We just want to honor you. Come on, let's honor our vets. We're grateful. We're grateful. We're thankful for your sacrifice. Nathan, I saw you here, buddy. I'm thankful for your sacrifice right now. Grateful that you're home, buddy, and we're cheering you on and praying for you in Jesus' name. But this stuff up here is from one of our retired military veterans. His name is Seth Jenkins, and Seth was in the Marines, and he let us graciously borrow some of his cool stuff. And Seth actually has an amazing testimony of how he came to the Lord and what's happened in his life, and I encourage you to hear it because it's a beautiful testimony of the goodness of God. It really is. It's so powerful. But I want to tell you, we're not just a family. We're an army. We're an army. Let me show you 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus. Now stop right here. How many of you guys know the Holy Spirit didn't trip up? He didn't mean to put son, he put soldier for a reason. He could have said, hey, he could have said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, endure hardship as a good son, but he said as a soldier. He said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, but he says that he doesn't so he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Let me ask a question. Are soldiers in families or armies? Soldiers are in armies. Soldiers are not in families, they're in armies. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Let me ask a question. Families don't have weapons, right? And if they do, don't hang out with that family. Armies have weapons. Soldiers use weapons. Come on, somebody. We got to see this now. Warfare, it says, it's talking about warfare. Warfare is for armies. Now I go further, Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus, he says, be strong in the Lord and mighty in power. Put on all of God's armor. If you're not in an army, why is he telling you to put on armor? If you're not a soldier, why would he be telling you to put on armor? Now, it's not physical armor, but it's spiritual armor. It's the armor that lets you walk in victory and protects you from the plot and the plan of Satan. To put on all of those things, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, to put on the helmet of salvation, to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, to put on, to take up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of the faith and fight for the kingdom. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're not just a family. We're an army. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, cadet, come on, tell them. Or private or whatever. I don't know all those terms. Somebody help me out. Why do we see these scriptures about an army? Because, are you ready? We are the army of God in the earth. We are the army of God in the earth. And Satan does not want you to understand that we need to be marked as a family and an army. He does not want you to understand and choose to believe that we must be marked as a family and an army. See, let me explain something. The moment that you step into the kingdom, the moment that you become a part of the family of God, did you know you become public enemy number one to the kingdom of darkness? As soon as you step into the kingdom of God, you become public enemy number one to the kingdom of darkness. You immediately become a threat to Satan and all of his little minions. Why? Because Satan hates God, he hates humanity, and he hates anything or anybody that is associated with the kingdom of God. And as soon as you step into the kingdom, he declares war on you. He declares war on you. And listen to me, what he's trying to do, he's trying to stop you from walking in the fullness of what God has for you. Because some people think, well, why am I in an army? Well, Jesus has already won victory. Yes, he has. You are not fighting for victory. Jesus has already won it all. Please hear me. Jesus has already taken care of the enemy and his plot to have you in hell for eternity. Listen. What you're fighting for now is not for victory. You are fighting to live in the fullness of God's promises and power in the earth while you're here. That's what you're fighting for. You're fighting to live in the fullness of who God is and what he desires to do in and through your life. And so I need you to see something. We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. But we need to recognize this, church, and understand we are fighting against this enemy, and he is consistently and confidently trying to stop what God is doing, but he is terrified. He is terrified for the people of God to recognize who we really are. Because when we begin to understand we're not just a family, but we're also an army, he knows nothing in hell can stop us. That's why Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But listen to me, hey, we don't get to walk and prevail the way we were designed to if we don't understand the fullness of our identity in Christ. And so we need to recognize we are not just family. Thank God we're family, but we are also soldiers. We are in the army of God that is moving forward in Jesus' name. Because I want to tell you this, when you understand that you're not just family, but your army, there is supernatural advancement in the kingdom that Satan cannot stop. If you believe that, somebody say amen. That's who he does. That's who he is, and we can walk in power. And I believe God's trying to awaken his church. This is our moment to walk in the fullness of that identity. So really quick, we share some things as a family. What do we share as an army? You ready? We share a general. How many of you guys know we have a general? Come on now, we have a general. We have a God, but we also have a general. Revelation 19 says that our general rides on a white horse with all power and authority in heaven on earth. The Bible says he's called faithful and true. His eyes are like flames of fire. On his thigh is written the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Out of his mouth is a sharp sword that strikes the nation, and he rules with a rod of iron. His name is King Jesus, and there's never been anybody like him. There never will be anybody like him, and he has all authority and power in heaven and on earth and under the earth. If you're thankful for that kind of general, come on and give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. That's our general. And you need to understand something about our general. He has never lost a battle. He's never lost a fight. And so you say, well, Pastor, 2 Timothy 2 says, I have to endure as a soldier. But you need to listen to me. You have not just been anointed to endure. You have been anointed to advance. You have been anointed by God to walk in the fullness of what he offers you here. But that's why you've got to stand up and say, greater is the God that is in me than the enemy that is in this world. And I've got a general who, if I let him lead, I'll walk in the fullness and the goodness of who he is. We've got a general. We share a general in our lives in the army of God. But the second thing is just like we share a general, how many of you guys know we share an enemy? Ephesians 6:12, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. How many of you guys know we don't fight against people? I'm gonna say it again, we don't fight against people. We don't fight against people that see it differently than us. I said it a second ago, we will stand for truth, but we will stoop down and love folks right where they are. You don't have the ability to label anybody because you didn't create them. We don't fight flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Listen to me. We have the same enemy, but that should unite us in greater ways. That should unite us, not divide us. We have the same enemy, and that should unite us. Listen, how many of you guys know what 2 Corinthians said? I read it a second ago. We have weapons, but they're not carnal weapons. Listen, when you go through some spiritual battles, you've got some spiritual weapons. You've got the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. You've got the blood of, listen, you've got the blood of Jesus. You've got your prayer. You've got your praise. You've got the word of God. Those are weapons. Listen, they're not carnal, but they're what 2 Corinthians 10 says. They are mighty in pulling down strongholds in the earth that are demonic. But you got to use your weapons against the right enemy. See this. We share an enemy, but we have been given weapons to walk in victory over him in every part of our lives. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, I know what the Bible says. Isaiah 54:17 says that there have been weapons formed against us. But I'm so thankful, even though those weapons have been formed, they do not prosper. Our weapons prosper because of Jesus. Because they are the weapons that he has given us to use as his church. So we have an enemy. Number three, you ready? We share a battle and a mission. All of us share a battle and a mission. This is where it gets deep. Ken, just play softly behind me for a minute, sir. We know our mission, Matthew 28, 19. It's the great commission that Jesus started. Go into the world, make disciples of all nations. It's the vision of this house. Make disciples and make a difference. That's the mission that we all share. But guys, we all share a battle. All of us. The battle to live in the fullness of what God has for us. How many of you guys, if we're honest, you could look back even over your own life and see that there have been times that we haven't lived in the fullness of what God wanted us to. There have been times we chose the mediocre over the miraculous. There are times we chose the superficial over the supernatural. And it's not because God wanted that. It's because we chose that. Say, Pastor, why did we choose that? Because we didn't embrace the fullness of the identity that God had for us. We only said, I just want to be a family. I don't want to be an army. Most places, you only talk about, man, the family of God, the family of God. All those things are wonderful, but I need you to hear me. If you're going to eat the meal, accept the mission. Come on, somebody. If you say, hey, I just want a feast, but I don't want to fight. I really love the community, but I'll pass on the Great Commission. How many of you guys know so many people have said that? You want to talk about a place the church has left a lot of stains? It's because all we've ever done is eat together and never enlist together. Well, Pastor, the Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord. That's true. But you ready? You belong in the battle. You belong in the battle. And the reason I know that you belong in the battle is because God has given you armor and weapons to push back the kingdom of darkness and advance the kingdom of God everywhere that you go. But you've got to be willing to say, I'm thankful for family, but I'm also willing to be a part of the army. I'm thankful for what God has done in my life, but I'm ready to fight for the kingdom of God in the earth. Here's what's crazy. So many people have said yes to the community and no to the Great Commission. So many people have said yes to the meal and no to the mission. They said yes to being better together, but they said no to the battle. And you know what happened? This is where the enemy was so smart, because everyone rejected the army, and we all have that innate desire to fight and conquer and walk in authority. Guess what we did? We started fighting in the family, and we started accusing, and we started throwing shame on other believers and churches because we weren't fighting the right enemy. And where we were supposed to be bringing change and transformation, we started leaving stains of confusion and pain because we refused to be in the army of God. Instead of fighting for each other, we started fighting with each other. Instead of being unified, we just kept dividing over and over and over again. And Jesus said it. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe God is trying to awaken the church to the fullness of the identity that we are a family and we are an army. Why? When we gather in here, we gather as a family. Come on, somebody. But when we go out there, we go as an army. And the world needs the message of the gospel of the kingdom again. Listen, all those places of societal influence, guess what happened? When the church stopped being an army, Satan took all those places over. Pastor, that's not true. Well, tell me the status of our government then. Tell me what education looks like. Tell me what business looks like. Tell me what the arts and entertainment look like. Tell me what the media looks like. Tell me what even the sphere of religion looks like. We have been given authority by Jesus to not just share a meal, but share a mission that can change the world. But we've got to say yes to being marked as a family and as an army. Listen, to not just feast together, but fight together for the kingdom.